this beautiful country of ours. And Lord, I thank you too that as your word goes out, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. And again, Lord, I say, in all that is said and all that is done, may the name of Jesus be exalted in this place this morning. May all the praise, honor, and glory go to you. And Father, we say thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. He's just amazing. He really is just amazing. And folks, I have a message for us here today. I think it's a very pertinent message and a very important message for the times that we are living in right now. And the title of this morning's message is Strong and Courageous is a Command. Strong and Courageous is a Command. This is not a suggestion. And what I'm going to be sharing here today, this is, yes, it's for Joshua, but I'm going to show you from the Word of God that it is not just for Joshua. This message that I'm sharing is for you and I in these times, in these difficult times, these trying times that we are living in right now. We need to be men and women that are strong and full of courage. Amen. It says, maybe if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me or you can have a look at this on the screen. It says in Joshua 1 verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, okay, so get the picture, Moses is dead. After the picture of after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So we know the situation. We have Joshua is the assistant of Moses. He had been helping Moses. He had been spending a lot of time with Moses. And God is saying now that Moses is dead. Verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And remember, this is now God speaking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. So God has a plan. There is a certain land that is for God's people, and God is instructing Joshua to now take his people into this land that he had demarcated for them. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, this is God speaking, I have given to you just as I promised Moses. Just as I promised Moses. So basically what God is saying to Joshua right now, he's saying, hey Joshua, you're the new leader. You are the new leader. And I want you, Joshua, to take my people into the land that I have for them. Verse 4 says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. God is saying, this is your territory. And he says, no man will be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Isn't that incredible? So now Joshua knows that he's the new leader, and God says to him, the way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And Joshua knew that Moses had a wonderful relationship with God. So you can see Joshua must have been very encouraged when he heard God saying that to him. Then God goes on, he says, I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to leave you, Joshua. I'm not going to forsake you. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. So here we see it. God now gives Joshua a very, very important instruction. Okay. And when God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, folks, that's for a reason. And the reason is that it is not going to be easy. Why would God say to Joshua, you need to be strong, my son? You need to be full of courage. Why would he say that unless there are going to be some trials and tribulations and difficulties that he's going to face. But he's telling him up front. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. He doesn't stop there. Now he tells him again. This time he doesn't just say, be strong and courageous. He says, only be strong and very courageous. So the first time he tells him, be strong and courageous. Now he's saying to him, be strong and very courageous. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. So God is saying to him, all those things, while you were assisting and you were working with Moses, all those things that he showed you and that he taught you, God is saying, now I want you to do those things. Do them. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Do what Moses told you to do. Then he says, this book of the law. Now he says right over here, God actually tells Joshua how to be prosperous, how to be successful. How many of us want to be prosperous and successful? Right? Half of us. Okay. I'm excited for you guys, but I now want the other half. I want to ask you the same question. Wouldn't you like to be prosperous and successful? Let me ask that question again. How many of us here today want to be prosperous and successful? I don't believe it. Anyway, let me carry on. Folks, this, he's giving him some instructions here. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. If you want to be prosperous, you want to be successful, there is one of the keys. Take the word of God and meditate on God's word day and night. Why? That you may be careful to do according to all that is written. In other words, folks, we need to take the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. We need to meditate on the word of God. We need to be reading the word of God. We need to make sure that the word of God that is saturated on the inside of us. Because then he says, for then, if we do that, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. And really, I know that there are other keys, you know, to prosperity and success in the kingdom of God. But folks, this is probably the most important one. The word of God, making sure that we not only hear, meditate, and process the word of God, but we actually become those who do the word of God. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Here we get it a third time. Third time. This must be an important thing that he's saying. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. God is basically saying to him, you're going to have opportunities to be frightened. You're going to be, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to be fearful, Joshua. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, folks, this scripture that I've just read is for Joshua. This is God speaking to Joshua. Is that right? But this scripture is also for you and for me here this morning. I believe the Lord is speaking to us. And you might say, Dave, you know, how can you say that this is for us? And in actual fact, it was really for Joshua. Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question. Right? Folks, listen to what it says in Romans. I'm in the New Testament now. Romans 15 verse 4. It says, for whatever was written in former days, whatever was written under the unction, under the anointing of God the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Word. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, right? So the principles here that God actually gave to Joshua are also principles for you and I in the days we are living in right now. I'll read it again. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance. What is endurance? Folks, That is the ability to persist. We need to be those who persist. We need to be those who kind of push in through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scripture. We might have hope. Now I'm going to ask us a question here. Do you believe that God is speaking to you today the same words as He spoke to Joshua back then? Yes, yes or no? We need to settle this thing, because otherwise you're not going to hear everything that I'm going to be sharing. Folks, God is speaking to us today. So basically, what we see here is God saying to Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses is dead. You, Joshua, I'm telling you, Moses is dead. Faye, Moses is dead. Johan, your Moses is dead. Rulof, your Moses is dead. And your question should be, right now, okay, so what is the land that God has given to you and I to take hold of? Because He's got something for each one of us. What has God got for us to take hold of? Firstly, we need to know that He said that He will never leave you or forsake you. He said that He will be with us. He said that He will not abandon us. This is interesting. In fact, three times in the first 9 verses, God is saying to Joshua, and God is saying to you and I here today, be strong and courageous. And there's a reason why we need to be strong and courageous. And I'm asking you folks today, are you? Think about that. Because right there, in this portion of Scripture, right there, with God's promise to be with you and I wherever we go, right there, with God's promise that you and I will be successful, right there, right in the midst of all of this, we are told, not once, not twice, but 3 times, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Now, what is it to be strong? Do you know that we don't know everything? And aren't you grateful for a thing they call the dictionary? All right? So I looked up that word strong, and you know what it means? It means to be determined. Are you determined in terms of your walk with the Lord? It also means to be unyielding. Are you unyielding in terms of your walk with the Lord? That is what it means to be strong. And then to be courageous, I also had a look at the dictionary, what the dictionary says. And you know what it says? For you and I to be courageous, we need to be bold. We need to be brave. We need to be heroic. We need to be confident. And we need to be those who are not afraid and those that will not buckle under intimidation. Don't be intimidated. Folks, there's a world out there. The world system is trying to mold you and I into its way of doing things. And you and I as believers, we need to rise up and start to apply God's principles in our own lives and making sure that we are making a difference. Because it's all about Him. The path of least resistance is that we buckle into this world system and we just start to accept all the garbage that they're actually dishing up for us. And what's interesting about this thing of being strong and courageous is that God is not going to make you strong. God's not going to make you courageous. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a choice to be strong and courageous. He's not going to do it. So the question is now, why would God tell Joshua, and why would God tell you and I today the same thing over and over and over again? And there's probably a couple of reasons why God would be saying this. Maybe it's because, you know, God probably knows that we don't get it the first time. All right. Okay. We probably don't get it the first time. Or maybe it is that God knows that our courage, just like Joshua's, right, like where Joshua was at that place, is not what it should be. That we, God is saying to us, you know, your courage is not where it should be. We need to embrace this thing. So God has reminded Joshua, and God has reminded us as well, that Moses is dead. Is that right? So Moses, folks, this is huge, because Moses is the leader. Moses is the glue that actually held everything together. Moses is the one that they would always go to and look to for guidance. Moses is the one that they would go and whinge and moan and groan and complain to continually, right? Now God is saying to Joshua, and God is saying to you and I today, that Moses, your Moses, whatever your Moses will be, and we're going to look at what a Moses could be, the Moses in our lives. Moses is dead. So, who or what is your Moses? Okay. What is it that is actually keeping you going? What is it that actually holds your world together? What is it that if you had to lose today, your world would fall apart? What is your Moses? I'm going to just rattle off a few here this morning. What our Moses could be, right? What our Moses could be. The Moses in your life. Your Moses might be your money. It's all about that, okay? Something that if your money happened to have been invested, now you've been saving up, and your Moses, this thing that you rely on, is taken away from you because maybe it was in a VBS bank, huh? You just put your trust in that bank, man, and you put all your money into that place. And so what would happen if all of your money that you've been trusting in disappears? Would your world fall apart? I'm just asking. Maybe your Moses is your, that little, what you call it, retirement nest egg. You know that little thing that every month, every year, for years, you've been putting something into that. What would happen if that retirement nest egg, your Moses, that you put so much trust in, suddenly disappeared? Would your world fall apart? I'm asking you, folks, okay? Your Moses might be your job, where you get your security. You just feel so secure. What happens if you lose that job? That job is no longer there. Would your world fall apart? Your Moses might be your parents. If you're a younger person, you know, your parents, your mom and your dad, the ones that are always there to assist you, the ones that are always there to encourage you. If they weren't around, would your world fall apart? Maybe your Moses is your husband or your wife, your spouse, right? The person that always comes along and is there, you know, kind of just encouraging you, always around there, bringing the, you know, encouragement and bringing security to you. If something happened to your husband or wife and they weren't around, your Moses, would your world fall apart? I'm asking. You know, maybe your Moses is something that is not tangible. Maybe your Moses is control. You just like control. You just like to control everything. You like, you know, you're in a position, maybe in whatever you do, that you have control over people. And that control makes you very, very secure. What would happen if that thing was taken away from you? Would your world fall apart? Maybe it's power. Huh? That was taken from you. Would your world fall apart? Maybe it's prestige. Maybe it's your good looks. Huh? You guys, maybe it's your six-pack. Huh? Remember those days, guys? Huh? I remember having the six-pack. And now it's become a one-pack. Okay? But folks, these things, what is your Moses? What is your Moses? That if that thing disappeared, right? God says to Joshua, listen to me. Moses is dead. The one that you put your trust in. The one that you could rely on. The one that was always there. The one that was there to support you. He's no longer here. He's not here. So folks, why does God tell Joshua this? Think about it. Why would he tell him that? I believe it's that Joshua can now start to not put his trust in Moses, but he now has to put his trust in him. And folks, this is what the Lord is saying to us today. Whatever your Moses is, right, and that Moses disappears and is no longer around, you are now in a place that you have to put your trust in him. You see, folks, this thing of courage, he's telling us to be courageous. Courage comes with trusting. Courage comes with believing. Okay, it takes courage. Let me tell you something. It takes courage to step out of a boat. Is that true? Like Peter did, right? And if you don't trust him, if you really don't trust the Lord, and if you don't believe the Lord in terms of what he's saying to you, what the Word of God says, I can tell you right now, you will never ever be able to respond to him with courage in your heart. So this thing that I'm saying today is not only being about being strong and courageous, it's talking about our relationship with him. It's our relationship with him. Okay, so that was my introduction. All right. Okay. So what I want to do now is really just have a look at three pointers in terms of us being people that are full of courage. And the first one, folks, if we must turn the potential, this is number one, we need to turn the potential that God has placed on the inside of us. We need to turn that potential into action. Because God has put incredible potential in each and every one of us. God wants us to move forward, okay? God wants us to go out there and possess things that he wants us to possess, the things that he has already planned, predestined for us to embrace and to receive, right? God wants you and I to be victorious. And it really is his will that you and I are victorious, because he's put things on the inside of us and he wants those things to be, he doesn't want it just to remain potential. Is that right? So we have to go out there and really embrace whatever it is that God has put on the inside of you. Go in and embrace that and go out and kind of just do it. When you know God is, you know, where you've suppressed that thing that he's put in you, open up and just go out and embrace it. But please make sure that when you take that big step, that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. All right? Don't ever make huge decisions in your life without first consulting the Holy Spirit. Because the thing about potential, and like I've said, God has put in amazing potential in each one of us. The thing about potential is that potential will always remain potential unless we do something and turn that potential into action. Is that right? How many people have you come across, you just see incredible potential in them? Just amazing potential. You see them 10 years later, that potential is still there and nothing has been accomplished. Is that true? So, you know, one of the biggest problems that we have as believers is somehow underestimating the potential that God has put on the inside of us. Is that true? We underestimate it, right? We kind of get a negative mindset about it. You know, what we do is we actually tend to forget that God, the Holy Spirit, dwells on the inside of us. We forget that it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, that lives in me. Huh? And the word is so clear, man. It just says, if he is for you, then who can be against you? And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you today that God is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And I'm sure, you know, that Joshua actually felt that he could never, ever measure up to Moses. This incredible leader that was able to lead God's people for those 40 years in the wilderness. He could never measure up to that. And here's another important lesson that we can learn from this here, is that we must stop comparing ourselves to other people. Yeah? Stop comparing ourselves, because so often we do that. And especially when it comes to spiritual things, we start to see spiritual gifting in other people. And, you know, that's what we want. And I'm not saying we shouldn't desire it, but our desire should be, Lord, you know, help me and develop this thing on the inside of me. Folks, we need to go forward and we need to just trust God and really believe or maybe I should say, and know what God has placed on the inside of us, and just go out and make sure that we do it. And also, that God has made you and I unique. If God has made us unique, folks, God, if he wanted lots of duplicates of people, he wouldn't have made us unique. But we want to be like someone else. And he said, no, no, no. I want you to be the way I created you to be. Okay? So remember, he doesn't want lots of duplicates. God could have made us all the same. But he's made us so unique and put in so many different giftings on the inside of us. So we need to allow ourselves to flourish in the giftings that he has placed on the inside of us. And we need to tap in and find out what those giftings are if we don't know what they are. So then, you know, I mean, how could Joshua now go forward? Think about it. Put yourself in Joshua's position. Moses is dead. I'm the new leader. What do I do? Okay? The first thing that was very important that Joshua realized that he must never rely on his own wisdom and that he mustn't rely on the might of the Israeli or the Israelite army. And folks, we too must not rely on our natural ability, our natural skills and resources. We mustn't rely on those things. And the source of Joshua's strength would be the Lord's presence with him wherever he goes. And that is ours as well. The Lord's presence. God is with us. Huh? The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He said he will never leave us or forsake us. It's the same with us, okay? So remember that God really wants you and I to be victorious, but God is not going to go out and he's not going to force us to go out there and possess things without there being a battle. I want to ask us a question. How can you and I be victorious in life if there's no battle? How can we win a victory if there's never been a battle? I'm just saying. You can only be victorious when you've experienced some challenges and some trials, tribulations, and so on. So you can't win victory without first being involved in the battle. And what the Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because there's going to be some challenges. He's saying to us as well, and we need to be ready for this. That leads me to my second point. I've only got 17 points. I'm only joking. Okay, okay. The second thing is this. If we're going to be courageous, we can expect to have problems. Tell the person next to you. Okay. If we're going to be courageous, we can expect to have some problems. Is that true? I'm asking us, folks, is that true? Huh? Moses is dead. This is what God told him. Moses is dead. And I can imagine Joshua. I just see a picture of Joshua kind of sitting and thinking to himself, where to from here? Okay. This mighty leader that I've been helping, he's no longer around. And then God comes along and actually reminds him of the reality of the situation. And God says to him, hey, Josh, get up. Get up. Hey, stop sitting around here. There's work to be done, Joshua. Work to be, we've got stuff to do. So God had to remind Joshua to be strong and courageous. And folks, you know, one of the temptations in not achieving what God has for us is that a fear comes on the inside of us that we're not good enough. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You just feel you're not good enough. You might be in a position where you're a senior person in a business and a position comes up that you can be promoted. And often people will start to speak themselves out of that thing because this fear rises up on the inside of them. Suddenly they start to feel anxious, right? They start to remember past hurts, the things of the past. They start to remember past failures. It starts to enter a person's heart. And then that fear comes in, that fear of failing maybe again. Folks, as believers in Jesus, we need to know, first of all, that fear is a spirit. Is that true? The Bible teaches us that fear is a spirit, and as a believer in Jesus, who has you and I, who have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, right? We have, according to Scripture, authority over any spirit of fear. So we need to rise up whenever fear. If you wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, that's normally the time. You wake up, and it's just amazing when you wake up with that thing, and when you really wake up, you know, and you get up and you think, gee, it actually wasn't that serious. But folks, when fear comes in, we have authority over that thing. So I'm saying don't entertain it at all, right? Where was I? Yes. Oh, I'm going ahead of myself. Right. That was my, how many points have I given us? Two. Where was I? Oh, yes, I've got 17. Okay. Yeah, okay. So what happens is, let's just rise up and start to use that authority that we have over the spirit of fear, right? And you know what also happens? We fall into what we call Old Testament manna mentality. Do you know what manna is, right? Do you know what manna is? Okay, that's food. That's the food that they—that's the food that they had in the wilderness for 40 years. Is that right? But what's interesting about manna, that it was just enough for one day, just enough to get them through. So manna only feeds one person for one day, because if you try to eat that manna the next day, it stinks and it's frot. Right? Except, of course, it's quite interesting. If you read on, it talks about on the Sabbath. They would take enough for the 2 days, for that day and for the Sabbath. But folks, this thing, as New Testament believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not have this manna mentality where it's just enough just to get through the day, just make it through the day. We need to have this, how can I say, it's like a marching mentality as we allow the commander of the army to guide us and to lead us, right? He is more than enough. He is more than enough, the Bible says. And you know what? Like I said, he wants us to be successful. And do you know that many successful people, when we see successful people, we look at them and we say, wow, man, just look at that person, right? Oh, especially the richest, you know, you take the richest guy, old Elon. Oh, wow. Oh, well. It was like he just got up one morning and whew, he just became the richest guy on the planet. No. Do you know that you're going to have a chat to him and you speak to any people that are successful in whatever they do. It might be as in the creative field, but they are successful, but they would have gone through some trials, tribulations, and where they would have experienced many failures. But there's perseverance. That's why that word says we need to persevere. We need to push on. Are we good? What's the next point? The third one. 3 of 17. Huh? No. You, my darling, that was number two. Okay. The third one. This is the last thing I want to speak about here this morning. If we are to be courageous, we must trust God's promise to provide. This is a big one. We need to trust God's promise to provide. Okay? We have to trust Him and believe that He will do what He said that He will do. And I want to tell you, it takes a lot of courage. It does take I'll give you an example. Christian and myself, you know, planting a church. You know, folks, I want to tell you, it was so much easier when I worked for a corporate company as a commercial director of whatever, I won't have to mention the company, where I got a salary every month, no matter what. I got a salary. It was great every single month. Right? I had a Land Rover Discovery, I remember, and we had a Mercedes and all those things. Huh? And you make a call to do what God has called you to do. And I'm sharing this because God is speaking to some of us here today to step out of the boat, right? And however it is, it's not saying that you need to get into ministry like Krisha mentioned earlier on. But maybe there's some things that you know that you should be doing and you're not doing. Right? So I'm saying that if we are to be courageous, we need to trust God to provide for us. Now, you can only have courage, like I said earlier on, if you have faith in Him. Is that right? You're not going to have courage to step out of the boat if you really don't trust God. So the starting point is making sure that our relationship with Him is at a place where we really do trust Him. It says in verse 8 of what I read earlier on, let me read it again, you know, in terms of Him keeping His promises and so on. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, the Word of God, folks, is what it's all about. We need to embrace the Word of God and make sure that the Word of God is deeply rooted on the inside of us. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." This is not just a question of lobbing up a prayer every now and again. Oh Lord, you know, we lob up a prayer like this, right? Why? "So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." In other words, again, this thing of being a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. "And when we do," it says, "for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success." Folks, if God says it, we better believe it. You know, we read things like this and then we think, well, I hear what you're saying, but I've got a better way. All right? Let's just do it His way. Give in now. Now's the time to just start to, never mind what you think and your views on all of these things, whatever's in the Bible. Let's just embrace what the Lord says to us and do it His way. So if you want to be prosperous and have good success, speak the Word, right? Meditate on the Word. We need to read the Word. Apply God's Word. And not, yeah, all of those things, making sure the Word of God is rooted on the inside of us. And then the most important part is stepping out and doing what He says. And so our part is actually quite, it's not complicated when it comes to the promises of God. You know, in the Bible, there are many promises that God has for us. But just about every single one of them, there is a condition. God tells us how to live, but then He tells us what we need to do. So we can see that the important thing is that we need to now be obedient. It's talking about obedience here. So I'm saying, are we meditating on the Word of God? Are we reading the Word of God on a daily basis? Okay. Are we doing what the Word of God says? Folks, those 10-minute podcasts that I put out every single weekday, I promise you, I don't do that because I just love playing on my phone. Okay? I really don't. That is something that is just, and it shouldn't be the total, right? But it is just something to get you started. Those 10 minutes to, you know, hear the Word of God, and then sometime during the day, obviously reading whatever you need to read, reading Scripture, but meditating on the Word of God, that eventually it's so deeply rooted on the inside of us, we start to do what God is telling us to do, right? It says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great success." So we should not compromise in terms of our walk. Just go out and do it and receive His favor, receive His blessings upon us as well. You know what the most devastating thing is about society today? Is that it encourages us to have dual or double loyalties. Is that true? You know, like, it's like you live in boxes. You got your work box, so that's how you conduct yourself in your work box. So work is work. University or school is school. Church is church. Entertainment or leisure time is leisure time. All of these things, it tries to force us to kind of lead different lives that are not connected. Folks, our lives are our lives, and we need to be the Christian that God wants us to be, not just on Sunday in church. We need to represent Him well when we are playing sport. We need to represent Him well that people know you know, who we stand for when we are at school and university or where whatever it is that we do. But the word is clear that, as I say, this world system tries to force us to have two masters, and yet the Bible says that we cannot have two masters. Is that true? Scripture says that we will either serve God or we serve the evil one. Simple as that. You can't have two masters. So in other words, you know, he is either Lord of all or Lord of nothing. Make a decision. This time of people, Christians, being, how can I say, lukewarm, is done. I mean it, folks. You know what Jesus says about lukewarm believers? Oh, okay. Let me say it like that. Some of the translations are quite sanitized, right? It says, he will spit you out of his mouth. Is that true? Go look up there. It's vomit. Okay? He will spew you out of his mouth, this lukewarm Christianity. He's had enough of it. And the times we are living in right now, we better be well prepared for the eternity that we are moving into very, very soon. So, and like I'm saying, we should not fear what's ahead, what lies ahead. Just don't tolerate any of that. Anyway, let me just hurry up. There's incredible potential in each one of us, amazing potential for all of us, and our Christian walk should really stop being what we feel and really let's start to be what the Word of God says that we should be and what we should do. Let's just go out there and be those who do what He tells us to do, right? Let's be. It's a decision to be strong and courageous. We choose it, folks. He's not going to make you strong. He's not going to make you courageous. Remembering, too, that He said that He will never leave us or forsake us. So we just need to be those who are courageous. We need to be those who are so courageous that we start to do what the Word says, that we start to be so involved in snatching people out of this kingdom of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of light, that we start to see revival taking place as people are swept into the kingdom of God, that there's a difference, there's a different atmosphere in our nation because of committed believers in the Lord Jesus and not lukewarm believers. Huh? Let's not hold back, folks. Let's don't hold back on anything. Don't hold back on your skills. Don't hold back on your talents. Don't hold back on your resources. Oh, brother, okay. When it comes to resources, I love the Lord. Okay. And we start to cherry pick, you know, all these things. But when it comes to supporting the gospel, getting out there, oh, not me. I'm not quite ready for that. I'll tell you when I'm ready. Folks, we have to start now. Huh? Don't hold back. Allow Jesus to develop and to increase all these skills, talents, resources that you have, because it's about the King. It's about His kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.